Welcome to the Latin Wealth Podcast, a podcast dedicated to educating the Latino community about entrepreneurship, investing, and business.
Yo, what's going on, Latin Wealth family? Welcome to another episode to Wealth Wednesday. Super excited about today's episode. It's going to be full of a lot of good information and some very interesting topics. So make sure you guys are tuning in and listening. And before we jump into today's episode, it would really mean the world to us if you can share this podcast episode with one other person that needs to hear Latin Wealth. You can go ahead and share it to them on Facebook, Instagram, text it to somebody. Go ahead and take a second just to share it with somebody right now. It would mean a lot to us. You can listen to this podcast episode anywhere on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever your fellow friend listens to a podcast at, they can catch us there. So do us that favor. It would really mean the world to us. We come on here consistently every single week. It's funny because right before we hit record, you know, we were both doing some traveling over the next couple weeks. And we still ain't gonna miss the episode, all right? So we haven't missed the episode since I don't know when, and we don't plan on doing that anytime soon. So it would mean the world again if you guys could just share it with one other person. And yeah, with that being said, my brother Jeremiah, how you living today?
I'm living good, man. We got information. Consistency is always key. You just spoke to that. So we're consistently here dropping gems. Hopefully people picking them up.
Yeah, 100% picking them up. And so the two topics that we're going to be diving into today is number one, Sacramento, California has approved a plan to give low income families $725 a month. We're going to be diving into that, what that looks like, who's paying for it and whatnot. Also going to be diving into anti-DEI laws are wiping out tools helping Hispanic students enroll and graduate in school. And so just a little terminology, if you hear the word DEI, it means diversity, equity, and inclusion. All right, so just keep that in mind. And yeah, we're going to jump right into it. So like we said, Sacramento has approved a plan to give a low-income Black and Native American families $725 a month, no strings attached. Very interesting. So the money is set to go to qualifying Black and Native American families, as I just said. And this is a basic income. This is a basic income plan that's a part of a six-step strategy to reduce child poverty in the country. This is being stated by Sacramento County. And Sacramento County is also growing. It's also joining a growing list of places around the United States offering no strings attached payment to its lowest income residents, right? So, for example, in Austin, Texas, officials gave $1,000 a month to low income families from the date of May 2022 to August 2023. And then also in Baltimore, the Baltimore Young Family Success Fund currently gives young parents $1,000 a month. All right. So this basic income pilot is set to start sending out payments in July of 2024 and distribute payment for a 12-month period. All right. So this is not something that's going to be going on forever. It's going to be for 12 months. If I'm not mistaken, you have to have apply, and there, I think it's around 220 families. If I seen that correctly, I could be wrong on that note. Don't quote me on that. But nonetheless, Sacramento joined the list of giving out low income payments. What do you think about this, right? And so I mentioned multiple times, Black and Native Americans, Latinos are not included. What are your thoughts about this?
So Latinos in what aspect? And I only say that because when we're speaking on Black as a race, right. So we speak in African American, or if they say Black, I don't know, the diaspora of that, because I'm clearly Black, you're clearly right. Black. I mean, what does that mean? Is it, because that's a race, that's not a, you get what I'm saying? So what does that mean? So it may be certain aspects of Latinos aren't included. Mm-hmm. If you're Latino or Hispanic, and because you know how it used to be, it's weird, right? On the census, mm-hmm. they'll be like, and they're breaking it down now more, but it used to be Latino, Hispanic, Latino, and then black or white. They actually took, so a lot of people align with their race as being white, they're Latino.
For sure.
This, I think this is when we started to get into semantics, because I think even with us, you know, especially with like Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, Cubans, we're black. Like, so if the box or the race is what we're looking at, then we should receive money too, right? I mean, obviously, a lot of us wouldn't, because this is for low independent, low in income families. So I started to think about that and how they're really going to start to define that, and how do you get in the weeds with that kind of? And people are like, "Oh, here we go." I'm just saying, what does that look like? Mm-hmm. And then if we're saying Native and Black families are the families that are getting this money, right? Why wouldn't you include Latinos? Why wouldn't you include people of Mexican descent, people of Salvadorian descent, people, you know, that may not align themselves as Black, right? Mm-hmm. But why wouldn't Latino families, Hispanic Latino families, get that as well? Because they're here and they're in that same, you know, tax bracket, basically, that same class of people. So it just seems kind of weird. I know the attempt, we were talking about this, and we were talking about, I think we were talking about people that were looking at reparations. We were talking about like what money looks like, people that align themselves to that. I'm one of the people that say I do believe that, like, that probably should be something to look at. But Chris, do you align this kind of with like California trying to give some form of reparations? Or what do you see it as? Because I hear what they gave, the reason for them doing it, but does it seem more like reparations to you, or what do you think?
I don't, man, this to me, this doesn't look like reparations to me, in my opinion. It's a 12-month program.
Yeah.
Like I said, they're helping. I could be wrong on this, but I think the number was around 250 families are helping. So that's not even everybody. In addition to that, like you said, it's really broad. You got Afro-Latinos that, you know, are considered Black as well. And you got Native Americans, or you got, you know, Latinos that identify as indigenous Native Americans. So do they get to partake, you know? So it's interesting. It's very broad. Yeah, man, it's very interesting situation. I don't see it as this is maybe this is like a stepping stone. Maybe they're kind of testing it out. I don't really know like how this works. If we were to give money to the low income, you know,
I was going to say it. I know this sounds horrible, but it seems like more of a social experiment.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
so explain that. So what do you mean by that? I can see what you're saying, though.
These things have been done previously in the past, you know, and a lot of people, you know, Puerto Rico has been, they had syphilis and gonorrhea that was injected into people, and they just saw what it did to the population. And the government just sat and kind of monitored it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, they would never do that. Look it up. They did the same thing in Alabama, at Tuskegee. But a social experiment, maybe not with something with like biological warfare, but more just testing people, their responses. There's no strings attached. They keep highlighting that to see, well, is this what happened with the PPP money? Is this the ERSC? Like the money that we're giving people, what actually happened? So maybe it's just a social experiment. There's a controlled group. You give them this money. You tell them there's nothing else to do. It's, you know what I mean? Like, it's, they sit and just watch what you spend that money on a monthly basis. And then they can then extract or extrapolate what it would be on a bigger scale. And they can 100%. Say, well, when we gave these families this money, they spent it on boom, boom, boom. Mm-hmm. Now, that's why we're not giving, you know, this or this. And so I think maybe it's a piece of an experiment.
That is a really good point, because that was a question that I wasn't at. That kind of leads into my next question. Like, is this something that you feel like is going to help the low income or suppress them? Right. And the reason why I say that is, and look, people listening, $725, you would assume that would help. But if you look at people, what was to say it, like bad habits, bad spending habits, is that going to help them? Is that going to put them in a situation where they're leaning on it like a crutch? Right. What are your thoughts about that?
I mean, you got to go back to, and this is probably deep for this, because I could give a short answer, but I'll try to give it as short as possible. You just look at black and Latinos, right? Traditionally, we vote Democrat. I'm not getting into politics, but that's traditionally what happens, right? But you have to stop and think, like, do these groups, these people, have they actually been helping you, or have they been crippling you and debilitating you and making you handicapped? By that, what I mean is, instead of us putting programs and trades into inner city communities and communities of lower income, right, at risk communities, instead of us teaching people how to have a trade so they could take care of themselves, or coding for children to teach them how to be progressive in today's world with AI and things like that, we're not doing that. There's just welfare given and things like that. So has it made people dependent, or has it made them put them in a better space? I mean, on a larger scale, that's questionable, right? Some people have utilized it as they needed it, and then it's helped them get to a stepping stone and then get to a better place, and they've taken care of themselves. But on large, I think that's questionable. And I don't know if it's a good thing. I think it's better if you took that money you're going to invest in for these 250 families. But if you took that and you invested that into a program, and you took those families and the leaders and the parents of that program and put them in counseling, or, you know, put them in some type of curriculum where you taught them about financial literacy.
Yeah. 100%.
Things like that, right? To teach them how to adequately grow their income, or give them a skill, or things like that. I mean, and those things could be done on a very small, for this amount of, that's not a big group of people. Mm-hmm. So those things could be done very easily, you know, and provide income for the teachers or the people that are teaching the curriculum. I think that would be more beneficial, right? It's like giving a man a fish versus teaching him to fish. Mm-hmm. If I teach you to fish, you can feed yourself for the rest of your life. Fish is going to feed you for one meal. So
I agree. I'm definitely with you on that. You know, I think it would be dope to see, like, yo, in addition to this income that they'll be getting, you know, they have to, or even like to keep the monthly income, you have to qualify, or you maybe have to enroll in this course, this program that you got to complete every month. And it's about financial literacy. If it's something like that, that's phenomenal. Cause I'll be honest, if back when I was considered low income, I didn't have money, maybe I was a broke college student, whatever, if I was getting $725 a month, chances are I'm blowing that on some J's. Let's just be honest. Let's call it what it is, right?
That's what they're going to spend it on.
Right. So
why? Because you lack the skill set. You lack the knowledge to adequately take that $725. If you were already making it, right, you were making it. You weren't doing great, but you were making it on the income that you had. You had a system that was established and you were making it. Maybe you take 200 of that and it helps you, right? Maybe you take that and it puts you in a good place. But then the remaining 500, if you had an adequate plan and someone taught you how to take that 500 and place it in something that was going to grow that money, now you become a lot more powerful, right? And so when you lack the skill set or the knowledge or the exposure to do these type of things, what are you going to do? You're going to be, you know, you're going to be looking at going to buy J's, going to buy Hermes, going to buy Gucci, all these different things.
100%. And so definitely we want to, as always, we want to give you this information. And there might be some people out there that need this program, right? And we don't want to come off in a discouraging way. So if that is the case, you know, we want to encourage you to, they are partnering with United Way, which is a company that will be giving out the income. If you are in that situation, or if you know somebody in that situation, I don't know if applications close. Like I said, they're going to be sending out these payments on July 2024 for 12 months. If you are somebody, or if you know somebody that may qualify or wants more information, I believe the website is yourlocalunitedway.org. That's yourlocalunitedway.org. Just in case you are one of these individuals. Just wanted to throw that out there.
See.
Yeah. Cool. Anything else on this program? You know, it's interesting that I didn't even realize, you know, Austin, Baltimore, you know, there's other, you know, cities doing this as well. Something similar.
I think the demographics are very similar to what they're trying to do. Mm-hmm. And that is why it makes me think it's more of a social experiment. It's just a basis of a study, basically, to see what people do with money. And then you can base that for future, like, decisions of how you distribute funds to these people.
Stuff. Cool. Moving on to the next topic is anti-DEI laws are wiping out tools helping Hispanic and Latino students enroll and graduate school. Now, as I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, DEI means diversity, equity, and inclusion. And pretty much what's going on ac across the country right now, state lawmakers are proposing bills to limit diversity, equity, and the bill could impact a wide range of different initiatives from defunding DEI offices and officers to removing diversity statements from hiring practices. All right. So it's crazy because nearly half of the states in the United States have either proposed an anti-DEI bill or could be in the process of drafting them. I live in the state of Texas. They've already put this law into place, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah, pretty crazy. And you may be wondering, how is this affecting college students? What does this have to do with college students? Well, you have programs such as the Multicultural Engagement Center and the Latinx Community Affairs, which is at the University of Texas at Austin. And essentially what these programs do is they organize Latino-focused programs to keep students at the university and guide them to graduation and throughout their professional life. And these programs were defunded, right? So essentially these communities that were built at these colleges to help Latinos graduate, get through college, you know, maybe mentoring, tutoring, things of that nature, were defunded and removed. And you know, there's students that are coming out and like they're saying, hey, I had a support system at the schools from my peers and my mentor, and now it's being taken away. So I say all that to say, crazy times that we're living in. You know, when Jeremiah sent me this article, I was almost like, why is this even a thing? Why is this something that we're even focusing on?
Feel like we're focusing on this because this is the development. We just spoke on this about the people that you know, were given this money, but they didn't have the exposure or the expertise, right, to be able to manage money. So now you're telling me that there are Latino children that are growing up and they get the opportunity based upon these programs and funding that is allotted to these programs to go to college to better themselves. Take that knowledge, come back to their communities and build up that type of knowledge and that expertise for other people, right? It's a light in the community. And so if you cut that off, this just leads to a repetitive cycle of poverty, right? It's an impoverished mindset. Now, when you go and you expose yourself to greater and you achieve things, you're going to teach others to do the same thing. So it's important to us because if we never change our mindset, if we never get out of that mindset of, you know, the day-to-day, start planning ahead and looking at generationally growing wealth and helping others, then we're going to be in the same place. And if you take away funding for stuff like that, then where does that leave the people? And it's funny to me, like I said, we don't talk politics, but a big reason why a lot of brown and black people vote Democrat in a lot of cases is because of what you just stated. Now, it's funny that every single state that has this on their record are doing so as a Republican state. Now, call it what you want. I mean, it's just clear. And we know their stance on immigration, right? We've seen Florida, we've seen DeSantis. He made it extremely hard for immigrants to work there. Texas has been no different. I believe Texas is playing the throne as the reddest state, so the most Republican state. And you know, it's not friendly to immigrants, it's not friendly to Latinos. They, you know, repealed DACA, which is the program that helps children that come here are born here and stay in school and be able to get their education. It's a lot of stuff, man. It's just, you know, and you kind of sit and you're like, where does it stop or what's the purpose of preventing these children from just wanting to have the same opportunity that everyone else
Same
has?
opportunity, yeah.
You know, I don't know. It at the end of the day, it you know, you try to avoid thinking that people are being are showing prejudices or, you know, being racist or having some type of xenophobia and stuff like that. But it's hard to not think that when these laws are specifically targeting, you know, Latinos, essentially. Right. So it's hard. It's hard not to believe that.
So when they say removing diversity statements from hiring practices, what
Yeah.
do you think they mean by that? So you go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that just It's simple. There was a there's a tax subsidy or money that's allotted by the government that you can that you are awarded to certain companies, private and openly publicly traded companies, that you get by hiring a certain amount, right? You have to meet a quota, a certain amount of Black, brown people, right? And so if you're not meeting that quota, then there were funds that weren't allotted to you or that you didn't get awarded. Well, now if I remove that classification and remove those requirements, I'm able to just hire what I want. I'm not saying it's going to be all people of a certain color, right? But then you, what you do is you kind of go back in history, right? Now you're reverting back to a time where you don't have any you lack representation, Black and brown in these companies, you know? And it isn't because we lack the knowledge, right? But eventually, if you keep cutting off programs that I don't have to hire any of them, and then I don't have to teach any of them, then what do you have? You create a race or a group of people that are just subjugated to servitude, right? They're going to be doing certain type of work because they just don't have the opportunity to get out of that.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, it's, I really feel for these college students because, you know, the school that was brought up was the University of Texas at Austin.
Yeah.
I don't know
yeah.
the exact demographics, but we can probably assume maybe it's a mostly white school.
Sure.
And, you know, the importance of community is everything, especially as college students coming up and trying to navigate life, trying to navigate school and whatnot. And for this to be taken away for really any group of people, any group of students is tough, right? And so they, you know, with the growing population of Latinos in America, you'll see a higher rate of, you know, Latinos with bachelor's degrees, but it still doesn't come close to white Americans, right? That are 25 and older with bachelor's degree. It's about 41%. And that's pretty much twice of what Hispanics are. And it's about 20%. And that was based on a report in 2022. So almost double. So crazy.
When you don't have that education and you require people to have that education, but even if you had it, right, and I'm not kind of even required to look at you or, and then some people say, well, that's taking away jobs from white people that are better qualified. And I'm like, I mean, I don't agree with that stance. That's what I hear, right? But I don't necessarily agree with that. I don't think it's, and if people say that it's been a fair, call it reverse racism, which doesn't, that is an oxymoron, but if people say that it's been fair, right, for Black and brown in this country, I think that, I mean, that's just a lie, right? It hasn't been, and you're kind of just negating what's happening. And there have to be things in place to allow, I mean, Black and brown couldn't even attend schools with people, right? So it's that's what I'm saying. Like, are we reverting back? Are we going back to a time? Are people trying to hang on to control, you know, or are we actually going to progress? And you know, there was something that said by the year 2050 or like 2051 or something like that, everybody's pretty much brown because they just mix together. And I know it's a frightening thought for some people, right? But I think it's inevitable, and I think eventually if we just keep pushing, I hate to say this, but the majority of these people that feel these way and make these laws and stuff, they're dying out. Not to
no,
be like
right.
that, but they're getting older. They're just going to be gone. And eventually it'll be up to us, you know, the millennials and people like that, as we get older, to just start making better judgment calls and better laws and treating people better.
For sure. And this is, since we moved to Texas, this was like one of the things that was always raising a concern for my wife. Like when we have kids and they go to school out here, are they going to be teaching our kids about Latino history or Black history? Is there going to be a Black History Month for our kids? Are there going to be programs and community in place for our kids out here in the state of Texas? That was always a concern for her. So
I could say going to school out in Texas, not really.
For sure.
And now, if it's changed, I hope that it has changed. And it obviously depends on where you place your kids at, but that's definitely not a focus. Or it wasn't when I was in school. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. So you went to college. Did you go to high school out here?
Yep.
Okay. Interesting. Yep.
High school and college. And, you know, it's, yeah, that's not a focus. Kind of funny,
Was
funny
it?
fact though. I went to my high school, it was called Robert E. Lee High School. Go figure that. You don't know who Robert E. Lee is, look him up.
100%. Crazy. Well, another episode with a lot of great information, a lot of stuff for you guys to think about, and just really, even if it's not anything that can directly affects you, a lot of information on how, the United States is moving, and what are some of the things that they're trying to put into play. It's very, it's always important to know, what's going on.
Yeah, what's affecting your group of people? It's important to understand where you're headed, right? Because if you don't make the right decisions, if we don't start actively, taking a look at trying to control these things and putting people in office that's gonna, look at us or think about our concerns, we'll end up putting ourselves back in a very bad place. That's what I'll say.
Good point. All right, y'all. Another great episode. Again, if you can share this episode with one other person, it would really mean the world to us. And as always, this is the Latin Wealth family. We'll catch you guys next week. Peace.
Peace, guys.